But so we're going to start with the scripture tonight, Genesis 50 and 20. It's a real simple scripture. Some of you have your Bibles. You can follow along. All right. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. So read that again here in a second. But this is referring, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers, his father. And his father wasn't there yet, excuse me, his brothers. His few of his brothers were there, I believe all of them were. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. So we're going to talk just briefly. I've been studying a lot about Joseph, and this scripture has kind of like popped out at me, and I've been all the things that had happened up to Joseph and to this point. I thought maybe these could help relate to you this week, this month, sometime in the future. And the message is God means it for good. And so we know at 17 years old, we know all about Joseph. Most of you grew up here. Some of you did not, but if you haven't heard about Joseph, he was a teenager when his brothers hated him and they were selling, going to sell him, they're actually going to kill him. They planned to kill him, and we know the story about how nine of them got together and they sold him before that tenth one was able to stop him. But they sold him as a slave and he went to another country. He was 11th of 12 brothers. He had one sister that we know of. So he was like the younger sibling, the favorite of his father, spoiled little child. Some of you here tonight can relate. Some of you can't. But his mother died when he was really young. She died giving birth to his little brother. Who was his little brother?
Benjamin.
Yeah. Very tragic incident, no doubt. Losing your mom. My wife lost her father when she was 7. It's very hard growing up without a parent. It's very difficult. And when your brothers hate you, they literally hated him. Hated him so much that they sold him into slavery. So we all know that how bad it could have been. But anyway, we know that he was sold into slavery. He worked for the chief executioner, the captain of the guard. He was no doubt a pretty brutal fella. I don't know about you, but if you came home after every night after work and you just got done executing a few people, you'd probably be in a really rough mood. And you probably beat around the slaves quite a bit. Joseph was the slave and the servant, and Joseph was there for many years. And we know that if you're the captain of the army or the captain of the guard, you're the chief executioner, you pretty much can do what you want. You're the one of the top dogs in the army. And when the time comes to get married, you probably have the choice of all the pretty young Egyptians. And I'm going to guess he got a pretty flirty, good-looking young lady, right? He was the chief executioner. He's the captain of the guard. So he got a beautiful wife. And we know that Potiphar, his wife, was there for a reason. God had a plan. He had a perfect plan for Joseph. And the devil knows each one of you guys is in here tonight's weakness. Every one of you have a weakness. Whether it's from drinking caffeinated coffee drinks, and you try to stop and you can't. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's a sin, but it's just one of them habits. The devil knows if you got an attitude problem. He knows if you got a desire, a craving for something that is probably questionable. It's going to lead you down the wrong path. He knows if you have relationship weaknesses. Apparently Joseph had what every young man has. He has a desire to be married, have a girlfriend, a wife, and the devil knew it, and he brought a beautiful wife into the situation. A lady that was married, Potiphar's wife, and she tried luring him over and over, seducing him. And we know that Joseph was ready for the temptation. He wasn't about ready to give in. Pretty tough choice. Give in to temptation or don't give in to temptation. Either way, he's going to get caught, found out, tossed in the prison, executed. This is a chief executioner. So we found out, he was found out, lied on. Just think about how mad Potiphar was when he came home and he was told that Joseph was doing something he wasn't. And he's the executioner, chief executioner. It's just in my mind, I'm like, why did he not get executed immediately? I have an idea that Potiphar, in the back of his mind, knew that his wife wasn't always honest. And she was a big flirt. She was very... And he knew Joseph's upbringing. He knew how honest Joseph was. For many years of working in his house, he was the head servant. How much money does a servant get paid? I don't think he gets paid at all. They're a slave. He's a servant. He did this for nothing. Maybe food, lodging. Any of you guys want to be a servant? I got a bedroom. My wife can feed you. Hopefully you like to mow the grass and clean the house. But I have an idea that Potiphar had a huge house. So we headed to Pharaoh's prison, and we know that he was down there for being falsely accused for something he did not do. We don't see anything in the Bible about a trial. We don't see anything about he was brought up and there's witnesses. There was nothing. He was just straight to the prison. He wasn't executed. And think about yourself. Have you ever been falsely accused of something? I don't know if maybe your brother or sister have ever blamed you for something that you did not do. There really isn't a trial. The situation is quickly resolved and mom and dad punish you. And you're maybe denying any that you were not the one who did it. But I'm sure that Joseph didn't really have a say. He was charged, he was executed by the chief executioner. He was sit down there. He was punished for something he didn't do. I remember one time I had a professor in college. He blamed me over and over and over for cheating. This was the worst class of my life, and I'll never forget this. He dropped my letter grade, two letter grades I never got a C in college except for this class. And he dropped me down to a C. He was going to kick me out, have me kicked out of college. I just like, I know he would, God put him in my life to just drive me crazy. It was macroeconomics, and oh, I just hated that class, and he just drove me nuts. But he accused me of something I did not do, and I really wasn't given a choice. He just dropped my letter grades. I explained to him what I did and how I did it, and he still didn't believe me. It didn't matter. I was falsely accused. And so we know that Joseph was sold into slavery at age 17. He lived in Potiphar's house for some time. Then he was in prison for some time, and he was there until he was about 30 years old, the Bible says. So at 30 years old, he's been in prison. He's been a slave for 13 years. We know that some of you just turned 13 this week. So it's a long time. It's your whole life, those of you who are 13. But some of you are a little bit older now, and you can imagine how long 13 years of prison and being a servant, a slave, would have been. He didn't get a chance to see his father and his brother until he was 39, which would have been 22 years. Can you imagine not seeing your parents, your 11 brothers and your sister for 22 years? And then you're in another country. They're the ones that put you in this situation. So for 22 years, Father Abraham thought he was dead. For 22 years, the dad just assumed he was dead. But his brothers had to live with that guilt. I don't know if any of you have ever done anything and you thought you got away with it, but every once in a while, it comes up in your mind. You're like, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And I can just imagine them brothers, how they just regretted the day they ever told their dad they killed their brother, or he was dead. No, they didn't kill him. an animal killed him. One of the times that they sold him. Why did they sell him? Why do we do that? Why don't we just send you back home? Guess what? You have a little conscience, and every once in a while the Lord will come back and say, Chris, why did you do such and such? You need to make it right. You need to go back and you need to make it right. We've talked about that before. Wow. And I wonder how many of them brothers say, ooh, we got to tell Dad that he's still alive. And the other brothers say, no, don't say anything. How, for 22 years, they each had to confer about this. They had a secret, a deep secret that just ate them up, that guilt. And if you, any of you here tonight are involved in unforgiveness or someone's done something to you, forgive them. That's the best thing to do. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. God's forgiven you for many, many things that you probably asked him to forgive you of, sin that you've committed. Sometimes it's hard to forgive others. Perhaps it's hard to forget, but you can forgive them. You know, most of you probably have things that you've had to forgive people of, but some of you probably had to ask other people to forgive you for something too. Good on both ends of it. But no doubt while Joseph was down there in that prison, every situation, he was sold, he was thrown into the pit before his brother sold him, he was thrown in the dungeon, Pharaoh's prison, he's probably like, why? Why me? Why me? Why me, God? Why me? And probably each one of us here tonight have thought the same thing at some point in our life. Why me? Why this situation? Why this situation? God had a plan. God had a plan for Joseph. It took years to transpire. We're going to see, I said 22 years to actually come to fruition of why he was sold and why he was able to save the whole entire children of Israel. Actually, this week I was kind of thinking about, I had a meeting on Friday about a potential job, and I have pages of notes and questions. I've done lots of interviews. I know last night Brother Mason was testifying that he had 4 interviews for this one position he did. And so I'm really good at interviews now because I've done so many myself. And I know how the questions are going to ask you. Tell me 3 things good about you. Tell me 3 things bad about you. And you always have to give them the answer, example of what you did to resolve the issue, how the conclusion. I understand that, how they work. Well, they asked me a question this week that I really hadn't thought about. I hadn't prepared for it real well because it wasn't a position I've ever applied for. And luckily, I was kind of prepared in the sense of, kind of like Joseph. I've been thrown into some things I did not want to do. Some confrontational situations, some severe experiences in my life that I would rather forget about. I didn't want to go through them. But because of them, I've been able to deal with these tough situations in the past. I was able to relate to them. These situations helped mold me and shape me into who I am today. So think about yourself. Sometimes maybe you go through a situation, you don't think about it when you're in a situation. All you do is think of like, why me, why me, why me, why me? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I just wish this was over. Maybe it's a class. Maybe it's a relationship. But these situations help mold us and create who you, each one of us are. At the time, it seemed like it was such an evil, such a bad situation, but God had a plan. It was going to be something to form me, help me. I think about Joseph. I just got a couple more points before we're finished. Joseph made the best of a bad situation, right? While he was down there, while he was in Potiphar's house, he went from probably lowly slave to in charge of the house. I don't think that's a promotion. Bottom slave, top slave, I guess. But he made the best of a bad situation. While he was down in prison, we know that he was from being prisoner to in charge of the prisoners. I guess he was still a prisoner, but he was down there. He made the best of a bad situation. And tonight, many of you guys here tonight have a bad home life, perhaps. maybe bad work life, bad personal life, bad spiritual life, maybe bad some bad situation with your parents or your boss or your friend, the person sitting next to you. I don't know what it is. Hopefully not the person next to you. But some of you have went through situations that were bad situations. And just keep pressing. Don't ever give up. Sometimes you have to maybe work through some situations. Trying times are not times to quit trying, right? Ooh. I used to have to. I worked at Wilson's Garden Center. We talked about this in the past. Down there on off across from Longaberger Basket when I was 16 years old. So I was like the lowest of low people there. They had 100 people working, and when they ran out of anything to do for me, they would send me into the greenhouses and pull weeds for like 8 hours. And this is hundreds of degrees, like 115, and just that heat in that greenhouse was just intense. And I just like, why am I here? Picking weeds in an incredibly hot greenhouse for $4.25 an hour. I just like hated my life. Now, unfortunately, looking back, it's not that big of a deal. We're just pulling weeds out of the ground in the flower bed or whatever in the greenhouses. But at the time, the situation seems to be incredibly terrible. No matter what you're in. It's easy to mope around and stay in spiritual depression, we'll say. Maybe a little funk. But Joseph, he's a great example of how to work through these. He worked harder, even though there was no monetary raise or promotion. None of us have ever been in prison for years. None of us have ever been a slave for years. None of us ever had probably gotten beaten or sold by our brothers. But this is a good example to work hard when it's not being noticed. I'm guessing if I had a checklist here of the prisoners, they're like, well, it looks like he really worked hard today in prison. That probably never happened. It was probably just something that got noticed. Man, everything he's touching, everything he's doing is really hard. And I'm really not wild about my work situation I'm in right now. I'm not crazy about it. But every single day when I go and I get out of my car, I tell myself, I'm going to work harder than everyone else here in this job site. It's usually pretty easy because everyone else sees how much little they can do. But Benji doesn't work with me. He has worked with me. He knows what I'm talking about. There's some special individuals there. But perhaps if you're at school, if you're at work, if you're at your home, think about, hey, I want to work harder. I want to do more than I ever have. I want to be something special. I just want to do something a little bit harder than I usually do. Mom and dad may not notice it. I don't care. Teacher may not notice it, but I don't care. I'm personally going to work harder than anyone else. And we think about Joseph. He kept God first. Even when he was away from his father, even away from his family, his dad wasn't there to keep an eye on him. Nobody was there from the church. The pastor wasn't there saying, all right, Joseph, straighten up. Nope, don't be doing that. He was away from everyone else. So he kept God first. He lived like a Christian. He wasn't taking a little siesta from being a Christian and living like the other Egyptians. He was, I guess, if you're away from your family, if you're at college, Columbus, another state, on vacation, if you're at school, if you're at work, always be a Christian. Not just a church only, right? Joseph was a Christian all the time. He put God first all the time. Even in a foreign country, nobody was there to check on him. God was there, but none of his family was there. His dad wasn't there saying, oh, that's not the way I raised you, Joseph. Don't be doing that. He was there by himself. He didn't take a vacation from living right. I know Brother Decker has mentioned that before, but Joseph was an awesome example. He didn't try to fit into the environment that was there. so many times that we go places, we can try to fit in. Joseph didn't try to fit in. He was his own person. He was a Christian. God has a plan for each of our lives better than we can imagine. If I asked you guys all right now, I'd give you a little index card, and I said, write down where you want to be when you're, what did I say Joseph was? 30-something, I told you guys.
I think it was 39.
39. Where do you want to be when you're 39 years old? And you guys would all jot something down. And we came back in here when you were 39 years old, and you were so much better than that. If you want to be like the best quarterback ever, if you want to be the best housewife ever, but God had made you even better than that. That's how Joseph was. God had a plan for his life that was even better than you can imagine. Now, how did it happen? He stayed the course. He didn't falter from living right. And it may take years to transpire. It may not happen this week. It's not going to happen maybe in 2 weeks. But each incident, each day, is going to be part of God's master plan if we let the Lord work in us each and every day. So kind of go back to the thought of Joseph's brothers all come together there. His father comes later on. But he says, brothers, you meant it for evil. That scripture I read. You meant it for evil. You guys sold me into slavery. The 9 of you got together and decided to sell me. You thought you were going to persecute you. You thought you'd get rid of the problem. But God meant this for, but God meant this for good. He had a plan that was so much further than you guys even imagined. The brothers thought they were getting rid of a little troubled brother. They had no clue that he was going to save them 22 years later from the famine that had happened in the country. So that's where we're going to leave you tonight. Hopefully you guys get something out of it. But no matter what situation you're going through, think about it. God has a plan for me. There's something out there that's bigger than this little situation. All right, thank you guys.